Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Quran, this great miracle of our beloved Prophet, is right before us. As mentioned in some of the supplications and dua during the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, we hope it will not testify against us for neglecting its priceless lessons. You are listening to The Viewpoint, hosted by your humble brother, Sayyid Ali, and I am here sitting with dear brother Sayyid Zain. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Really good to have you here. And dear brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Good to have you here. The Quran is often referred to as the eternal miracle of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. Unlike the miracles of other prophets that were limited to their times, Quran is eternal. Quran is a miracle in various dimensions. Its language, structure, its unique narrative style, and even its prophecies about past and future. Can you elaborate one, on specific dimensions of the Quran's miraculous nature that particularly resonate with you or is often overlooked? Like, people don't consider this aspect of Quran as something miraculous, something interesting that should be given some look and, thought on?
Well, the first actually specific was quite a special aspect of miraculous aspect of Quran is the distortion that we have talked about So to me, it is among the strangest aspects of miraculous aspects of Quran, because when I'm thinking that how is it possible for a book, within 14th century stay unchanged and stay undistorted, this is really, there is nothing behind it except Allah's will and power.
It's like a God's life challenge.
Very true.
Yeah.
And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself guaranteed. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظٌ. That is, we have definitely and certainly revealed the book, and we are its protectors. So he himself actually guaranteed that. When we want to even narrate a single word or a single sentence, if we want it to stay for, a couple of years or let's say centuries, it finds different formats of narration or formats of statements of that sentences, right?
Sure.
When we are working with a mobile phone, when we want to make it to factory set, so it makes us a sort of factory set.
Yeah.
And then we shall be apt to receive the benefits and blessings.
And it feels good to have that self.
Definitely. So all the malfunctioning aspects of parts of our life, or in every aspect, not only materially, but also spiritually, will be remedied by this actually aspect of Quran. If we recite Quran, what do we mean by recitation of the Holy Quran? Is it just to recite it with a good voice? So though it is good, but first we need to focus on this recitation of 50 verses a day. So after that, in case we had the chance or we had the inshallah mood to recite more, even we can increase it to at least 6 pages of the Quran. But with focusing or reading the translation or even the tafsir or commentary of one single verse of those pages that we recite today, to see which one of these verses actually attracts our attention to. So at least we have a share of our we have a daily share of our portion of Quran's teachings for that day. So it changes the life of a person. Once I myself was walking in the street, I saw Ayatul Abajad in the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. I went to ask, please teach us something, tell us something. So it was interesting that he recommended something very beautiful and very easy to me. He said, recite Quran more. I told him, okay, how? He said, just recite. I told him, tafsir, or do I need to recite or read tafsirs as well, or translations? He said, in case you had the chance or the mood, in case you had the mood or chance to recite the tafsir, recite the tafsir of Ayatullah Qarati.
Okay.
Then he told me, he referred to one of the tafsir that is available in the market, the tafsir of the exegetes and commentary of Ayatullah Qarati on the Quran. He said, that is very easy and very easy to understand. It is very easy to be understood. Then I want to say that when you see a person like him, he wants to recommend you something that actually guarantees your salvation. He recommends you to recite more Quran. Mm-hmm. So we need, I mean, this is the way, this is beyond the, this is the mystery of Quran staying safe and undistorted, that it has been recommended within, in the course of history by scholars and, I mean, ordinary people, or, I mean, religious authorities, that they have kept all these teachings of Quran in their hearts. But recitation is good, then pondering on some verses is even better, and acting upon them is even much more better.
Thank you, dear brother. Dear brother Sayyid Zain, trust in Allah's promises is identified as a sign of true reliance and tawakkul on Him. This gets trickier during hardships and troubled times, because then we are giving a test, and we know that. And for those who are not a real believer like myself, it's hard to be patient enough and trust His mysterious ways of doing things. The question is, how can someone strengthen their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises, especially during tough times? If you know any verse of Quran in that regard, that would be appreciated if you can mention it here.
First and foremost, I would like to correct you that, inshallah, you're amongst the believers. And
oh,
inshallah.
Thank you so much.
So yes, the Quran does speak about trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us tests to be able to, you know, test that trust. And then if we are successful, then our trust in Him and our belief in Him becomes deeper. One of the verses that comes to mind regarding trust in Allah, it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. That whoever has tawakkul, who relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for him.
Yeah.
So this, and there's many verses in the Quran that talk about tawakkul on Him, and Allah loves those who do tawakkul, and so Quran has a lot of verses on this. So one thing, though, I think that we should keep in mind regarding tawakkul is this idea that tawakkul doesn't mean that we just, you know, say that, okay, Allah will take care of it, okay, and I don't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's the wrong idea of tawakkul. And tawakkul is a whole subject that you know, can go into. But basically, the idea is this, that tawakkul, it comes after a person does his responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our responsibility that hasn't put on our shoulders from the religion and from our own reason, we have to do that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then have tawakkul after that. And inshallah, then Allah will bring about good results in that, right? So now when, you know, the Muslim nations are attacked, the Muslims are being killed, you know, these powers are, you know, helping each other in order to oppress and take resources and, you know, all these different difficulties. If a person says that I'm going to do tawakkul, that Allah will take care of it, and not do anything himself, well, that's not the right idea.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we have to take a step, we have to go and do our responsibility, we have to fight the good fight, and we have to, you know, repel this danger and their attacks and all these things. And if we do this and have tawakkul after that, then inshallah Allah's promises are there that, you know, He will help us. Inshallah.
I guess we have to do our share, and then I would say, like, leave everything to the mighty hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Leave the result for His wisdom, I guess. So, dear brother Ali, probably this is the last question I'm going to ask from both of you. I think this is a great moment to reflect on some hopeful verses from the Quran. Could you share a few of your favorite verse of Quran that, you know, gives you this hope, this shiny hope for yourself, for your future or salvation?
One of the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran is the one that actually increases a hope to the ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually plants this seed of hope inside our hearts that we are still waiting for that, I mean, promised Savior to arrive, and inshallah actually revolutionize everything in the whole world. But this revolution actually requires and has some prerequisites. Mm-hmm. A prerequisite of this revolution is from me, myself, as a duty-bound person, or as all the brothers and sisters who are in the hope of waiting for this Savior to come. So we have our duties, and we have I mean, our role in this world actually has meanings, and it shows our role, inshallah, in the desired utopia, Mahdi utopia, that we are waiting for. So as much as we are waiting for Him, and we are doing our duties in the right manner, in a proper manner, so we shall benefit from that beautiful and desired Imam alayhi salam. But Look, there is one more point that I need to add to all these explanations that we had today, that sometimes we read the Holy Quran, recite the Holy Quran, we take some benefits from that. I think spiritually we get, our thirst is going to get quenched. Yeah. Then right after that is pondering in the Quran, which actually it enlightens our heart and enlightens our minds and decisions, then it is very good. But always everything actually, when we recite something and we understood it, we need to act upon it. Look, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Khamenei, rightly mentioned, he said that when we see some verses of the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do something, there is a sort of action or functional behavior from our side then as well. Yeah. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Musa to throw your stick, so this act should be done from Musa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jesus the Prophet Isa alayhi salam actually remedies the blind, so he does something as the Prophet. He actually touches the eye of that person. So again, for us, there is a duty. So, just recitation of the Holy Quran is not enough.
Yes.
Look, lots of people recite the Holy Quran, but where in Quran tells us that you need to be indifferent and silent when oppression is actually torturing a group of people in one part of the world and others should be just watching.
Yeah, lessons so, should put in action.
So this practicality and functionality is something that we take from Quran. So we need to recite the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. We need to ponder on them. We need to act upon them. And we need to find our status with regard to that verse of the Holy Quran to do the necessary act based on that.
Thank you so much, dear brother Sayyid Zain. Is there like any verse of Quran, like your favorite ones or the ones that you feel more connected to and you want to share it here?
One verse that comes to mind is a famous verse. It starts like this. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, that Allah is the wali of those who are the believers. So Allah, He is the guardian, He is the one who is close, He is the one who cares deeply about the believers. And this gives hope that there is a power that is infinite who is watching out for if we do our responsibility, come into belief, we do our responsibility in terms of acting upon the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon His sharia, then this limitless power is there and is watching and is behind us, that He is behind us. And this is something very powerful. It gives hope to the believers to continue and keep doing what they're doing. And no matter what happens, if we do our responsibility, no matter what happens, things will always turn out well for us.
Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
شفعة أنا لها.